When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday and we're covering shows on Wrestling Inc. And this time, Crown Jewel, and if we got a show for you. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Emily May. Emily, pull back the curtain a little bit. We just did some fun tech stuff before the show started. Apparently, I can just insert the intro video before
yeah.
we start. So manually, we had no idea what was going to happen when I hit go play.
We had no idea. We were like, are we live yet? I was like, woohoo, here we go. It's the afternoon here. We both talked about how we were having coffee with our wrestling, which is quite odd. We're usually with something else.
Yeah, it's interesting here. Pre-show started at 8 a.m. for me. So it was very interesting. I got my nice cup of Joe, my drink with two hands, you know, the steam coming off of it. It was great. Lots of folks here in the chat with us already. Thank you guys so much for joining us here. I got a question for you before we get involved in all the wrestling chat, though. Halloween just passed. How was your Halloween, Emily May?
I mean, Halloween, it was a little bit low-key this year. I did a lot of different costumes just for my fun myself. But we had a lot of trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood. Kept it low-key. It wasn't crazy.
So I've been watching this show, and if anyone else is watching, no spoilers. It's this, it's on Netflix. It's this Korean show called All of Us Are Dead. It's a vampire show. Zombie show, right?
Wait, vampires and zombies are two very different beasts.
Are they? They bite you and you turn into them. Kind of the same thing.
Do you turn into Wolverines or you just die?
I don't
know. Or zombies. Zombies, you turn into zombies. I thought you said Wolverines.
Zombie and vampire. So it's a zombie show. And I was thinking as I was watching this, Emily, I hear all these people on social media and they're talking about if they were the zombie apocalypse, this is what I would do. This is how I would save myself. And they get all in depth with these crazy schemes. And I'm thinking if there were zombies, I would just wear like a jean jacket and jean pants. You can't bite through jeans. I mean, that's not the way human teeth are made. People overthink it. If you swore kind of fit clothing, you'd be okay.
I mean, have you watched like Dawn of the Dead and any other like classic zombie movie, Jack? Because you have to like hide in very specific like places. So I would survive in a mall because malls are deserted. No one's going to look for you there.
So by the way, GMO says, I think you're using the wrong microphone. Thanks for the heads up. I think I was using my laptop mic instead of my mic. So let me know if this sounds better, GMO. But yeah, why even hide? I mean, zombies are dumb. Just, you know, close your door. And when you go out to go grocery shop and put on some like mildly thick clothing and you can't.
Like the hazmat suit or like astronaut suits. I feel like astronaut suits are really strong. It goes through space. Like, why not? That could fight a zombie apocalypse.
See, that's too hard though. I mean,
I would in your closet, Jack?
I have a couple, but I'm trying to keep them fresh.
Oh, okay. I mean, like the suit king. You would think you would have an astronaut suit.
It's an astronaut suit. So it has a tie and everything. But try just chew through, grab a pair of jeans and see if you can bite through that. You can't bite through it. So
yes, everyone in the chat, try it. We want to see your pictures. Tag us.
You trying to, if you can't bite through the jeans, then zombies are basically just dumb people. You know?
Dumb people.
They're dead. Like, you know, put on some gardener gloves, maybe a stylish turtleneck so they don't get your neck. Fine. Who cares?
Oh my goodness. But like, but the thing is with vampires are supposed to be very smart. And technically you can't become a vampire unless you like agree to like be turned into a vampire. Like there's all these like rules.
Oh, vampires are a different ball game. If vampires are coming for you, you're done. I'm sorry. I mean, but
they look like people. They hide in real time.
But wouldn't you be bothered? I feel like every vampire is just dashing looking. I'd be like, okay, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
You're like, vampires, just take me.
If Robert with his sparkling skin from Twilight showed up, I'd be like, oh.
Okay. Now which team is everyone on? We're gonna go down the Twilight
team. Wait, his real name is Robert. What's his name Robert Pattinson is real.
What's his name? Oh, the other guy. Oh my God, why can't I think of this? Everyone, remind us.
Yeah, what were the names of the characters? It was Jacob was the werewolf, and his team Jacob and team. I can't remember.
Oh no, it was Edward. It was Edward.
Edward, yes.
And
Jacob, I think, was the...
No.
Was it? Oh, whatever. Well, I'm team Edward. I'm team sparkly vampire, okay? Edward, if you bite me, we're all good, buddy. I get what the girl was thinking when she said, I'll spend eternity with you. Yeah.
Weird rabbit hole right now. Can I show you my crown jewel, Jack, since we're here?
Yes, absolutely.
Look, you guys, my crown jewels. I know it's not Queen of the Ring, but I am Queen of Wink. So this is what I bring.
Emily May came with the proper attire.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you're not fancy on this Saturday morning afternoon.
Listen, you're lucky I'm awake here on a Saturday morning. Whiskey Pro says Team Edward or Team Jacob.
Jacob. Okay. Yeah,
Edward and Jacob Fatu. Listen, I am not going against Jacob Fatu. We'll talk all about that here in a second. Leonard Jones says it's 8 a.m. in Australia. That was a fun show. Ready for bed after this podcast. So lots of fun stuff going through. And we also got Low Vision Technology coming through saying, what's up, Jack and Emily? How are you doing? Crown Jewel is a good event. I can't wait for Survivor Series War Games. Before we talk about the show, there was some news that broke. I think it's news. I think it's big news. Goldberg says that Triple H has made it official that he will have a retirement match in 2025. Now, this is for everyone in the chat, in the comments. I want to hear your thoughts. Now, I think a lot of people think the obvious answers for who this person could be is like a Gunther or a Braun Breaker, but I want to hear some of your fantasy booking outside the box. I got a couple, Emily. I'd love to see John Cena versus Goldberg. Never seen that one before. I'd love to see Randy Orton continue the legend killer bit and kill the legend of Goldberg, but you know who the right answer is. The right answer is Goldberg's final match should be Akira Tozawa. Who do you want to see if you had to think outside of the box, not just the obvious Gunther, Braun Breaker? Who would you like to see Goldberg have his retirement match against?
I don't know. Can it be just one person?
I mean, if you want to have him take on the entire bloodline, that'd be cool.
Yeah, take on the whole bloodline.
All at once. It's just a beatdown.
It's just a bloodbath.
They just start pummeling
him. That's the way Goldberg goes out, just a bloodbath.
We got in the chat, Whiskey Pro saying Goldberg versus Cena.
A lot of people are saying that, and then Cena's also talking about like his potential championship match, going after another title. There's rumors of that. That's been speculated, but I don't know. Well,
I think Cena should have more matches. I just think it'd be cool to see Goldberg
in this one. Yeah. But also the Gunther Goldberg thing that they're teasing, they've seen that. That could be really, really fun.
Kerry Johnson says Bronson Reed. That'll be a good one. I can't wait to talk about that match here in a second. Jose Tepede saying Drew McIntyre. That'd be kind of cool to see. We also got Otis. He's still Otis to me. Danny Cochran saying Akira is ready. Akira is ready. Come on, Akira. I want to see it happen.
He just dance all the time, Jack. He's just going to dance and scare Goldberg.
That would be great. Laura Rock says Goldberg versus Nick Aldis. What did Nick Aldis ever do to you, Laura?
Nick Aldis can't get his roster under control. That's what he did wrong.
Nick Aldis
can't his own downfall.
I've got a bone to pick with Nick Aldis here. We'll talk about later tonight. Lots of fun stuff to happen. So everyone in the chat, again, let me continue to know who you guys would like to see as Goldberg's retirement match. If we're not counting the Gunther Braun Breaker, I feel like those are the two ones that are, it's very likely Gunther, it sounds like, and Braun Breaker, there's so many similarities that makes sense, but what are some outside of the box ones, some different ones? Reaper Brink says Goldberg versus Gilbert, the match we've all been waiting for. So let's talk a little bit about this show. Of course, before we do, as always, I want to shout out everyone who's watching us, whether you're listening to us later on, watching us live now. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star reviews in the chats. I called out a few of you guys already, but Maestro's here, Danny Cochran, Jose Tepede, Laura Rock, Reaper, Brink, Whiskey Pro, Leonard Jones, Low Vision Technology, LBT for short, Kerry Johnson, and Labchaki Hamza. I'm sorry I'm saying that wrong, but thank you so much for coming through as well. Fernando Perez as well. Appreciate y'all. We start this show, Emily May, with a 6-man tag team match. The match I call the Bloodline versus the Bloodline Wolfpack. In what I believe is the first time since the Royal Rumble 2022 against Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns opens the show. Roman Reigns makes faces as Jey Uso has his antics. Jey Uso chooses to tag in Jimmy instead of Roman initially. Reigns does eventually get in, and Solo just about has him beat, if not for a very last second save by Jimmy Uso. Anarchy ensues, and afterwards, Jacob Fatu clears the ring. Solo hits the spike multiple times and pins the OTC, which now stands for Old Tribal Chief. As the Bloodline dismantles Reigns and the Uso, Sami Zayn makes his way to the ring to stop the carnage, but it ends with Sami Zayn accidentally hitting Roman Reigns with a haluva kick. Emily, a lot of stuff went down, but I think the final shot is what sat with us all, and that is Roman Reigns with his own close-up, disappointed, sitting down in the ring shot, much like Cody had after his loss at WrestleMania a few years ago. Talk to me about this very intense opening matchup.
I mean, we were all wondering where this match would go, right? And so to kick off Crown Jewel with this, you know, we were wondering if Sami Zayn was going to show up. We saw him talking to Solo Sikoa in the parking lot, and there was a little, tension there and mystery of like what went down. And it built the tension of Roman Reigns returning, having this, you know, Bloodline versus Bloodline feud during Crown Jewel. Roman Reigns wasn't. It's a numbers game. We've talked about it. Like, it's a power and numbers game. And Roman Reigns has lost his power and is, like, gone off the track. So he's trying to find his way back. And Solo Sikoa is just, like, outsmarting him in so many ways. And it was obvious watching that that's what was going on. Even with Sami Zayn trying to help, it went disastrously wrong. It was very wrong. Obviously, a big mistake. A little swerve there where we thought Sammy was going to help Solo. You know, that little like, oh, we got you. We're going to give you a hug. And it didn't, you know, did not work. So this builds the mystery, Jack, and the question is, where does Sami Zayn fit into this? And what does Roman Reigns do next? because he had this heartbreaking fall. What are the fans going to do as well? Because there's so many people behind Roman Reigns. Some are behind Solo. I don't know where everyone in the chat kind of lands, but this is a new era, a new chapter for the Bloodline, and Roman Reigns has to think about what he's going to do next. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to be disastrous.
GMO says, Timu Bloodline is just not interesting. We got no reason to care for them. Clearly, GMO, not a fan of the Bloodline Wolfpack. They do wear the red and the black, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about what happened with Sami Zayn. I think Maestro Dog asked the question that's on everyone's mind. Accident. Or was it?
Mm-hmm.
Can Roman Reigns trust Sami Zayn? I mean, he was palling around with Solo Sikoa. Maybe this was all part of Solo Sikoa's chess game.
Well, and that's the thought I initially had when I saw him come out. I was like, you know, he has to make that decision. Which side is he going to be on? And he could be playing sides for now. He could be aligning himself with Roman Reigns, saying, hey, I'm going to help the OG. The OG tribal chief. I'm going to help him. I'm going to be there for him. And then when Solo gives me the little Iggy and says, hey, it's your turn. You got to turn. That's when he'll do it. You know, you got to keep your enemies closer. And that might be what he's doing.
I look at the history of Sami Zayn, and historically speaking, Sami Zayn is what I like to call a home wrecker. He loves to see groups of people who are happy together. Cool. And he gets involved and he splits them up. That's just what he does. Oh, you look like a happy group. Let me get involved. Whether it's Chad Gable and his group, whether it's the Bloodline. It seems like every time he sees people getting along, he has to butt in and ruin it. And now I think Sammy's in a situation where he's torn. He's like, here are two groups. Which one do I break up? Which one do I drive a wedge between? I don't know what to do anymore. I think that's where Sami Zayn is right now.
Yeah, I mean, and Sammy also was kind of offended by some of the comments of him saying that he's not a part of the real Bloodline, the real family. Like, there's some deep, deep burns that he got in recent weeks. And so that's why it's so surprising he went the direction he did, but also not surprising at the same time. And I think the fans are in the chat are right there, where he could just be saving it for the right time to make his move to destroy the group that he wants. Maybe he'll destroy both. And then he's the new tribal chief.
I mean, I'm surprised he's not out there trying to go after the Final Testament, going after the Wyatt Six. Whenever there's a group, Fernando, Sammy, the faction killer.
Destroy them all. Just go.
Fernando says, I disagree with Roman eating the pin instead of Jay or Jimmy. I agree with Roman eating the pin, and I think the reason why is we see that image, and it was very obviously the same image that we got with Cody Rhodes after WrestleMania. I think they want us to see that, and they want us to know that Roman Reigns, much like Cody Rhodes, now has to go through hard times. And I think that we're supposed to see him, like, now he's the one on the other, and he's the one that has to prove himself, maybe have some tough matchups. You know, Cody Rhodes had to go through a Brock Lesnar, had to go through a lot of tough folks. I think this is the message that Roman Reigns, like you said before, had all the power, had the numbers. Now he's on the other side of this. And so I think that's what they're trying to send the message. And that's why I think it's okay that Roman took the pin in this one. But
I think it shows how bad the downfall has been, right? Mm-hmm. I think the reason why Roman took the pin, and I think it's okay, is you need to have that emotional factor to it, the frustration of it, the anger. Like, he's going to build that all inside of himself, and that's going to push him to the next breaking point and the next moment that he has to go back and think about, okay, what do I need to do to get back on top? How do I take Solo down? So all of these things are lining up to hopefully either get him on track or find another path.
Mm-hmm. One of my main takeaways with this matchup and this, something I was so impressed with, is obviously the Bloodline story. We think back to, was it a year ago, 2 years ago now, when Paul Heyman said the famous, we're in the third inning line, and we all thought, come on, the third inning, whatever. And now that all this time later, this thing is still going. And I think back to, I'm famously a late period WCW fan. And so I always think of the NWO, and I make the joke about the Wolfpack here. And I look at the Bloodline and how it split. And now there's two of them and they're warring and there's all this intrigue. And I think of this is probably what WCW really wanted when the NWO split up, is this intrigue of these different sides. But this is still so good. This is better in a lot of ways when you think of the actual story than it's ever been. When you have the old group breaking up and coming back together, a new group involved, new pieces added. We're years into it. But when I look back to before Cody won the title, that was really all WWE was the Bloodline. That was the main thing. Now, this is almost bigger, but it's just a piece of what WWE is right now. And I think that is such a testament to how good the roster is, the talent is, the people putting on the shows, the writers, the bookers, whatever you want to call it. Everything is just doing so well right now that this massive story can be bigger than ever. And now it's still not even the only thing when it used to be, if that makes sense, Emily.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you have to think about every good faction and feud has chapters, right? And has little bookmarks that we're passing through. Or you could use, like Paul Heyman used the baseball analogy, right? Mm-hmm. You have, so I'm not sure which chapter we are in this, but it has layers, right? And we're in the trilogy here, right? Mm-hmm. We're continuing this legacy. And as more members potentially join, and there's more layers and more like internal feuds, and this could be unending, mm-hmm. and just continue on. But the thing is, if things get too big, things get more complicated and could potentially ruin a good thing. Mm-hmm. So it can get very complicated very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. With the number of people in that family, this literally could go on forever. It's like, yeah. Not even joking. This could go on for a very long time with the number of people in that family who are all very talented.
We all know a great worker when we see one. And that's what the guys at 5-9 Whiskey are. Like a performer who leaves it all in the ring, the crew at Troll Co. have made a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. You see, two oil field guys figured, why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? And who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey? 5-9 is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They put in the work. The name 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., not the 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat, tears, and more. Real life road warriors. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into the whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. Cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's FIVENINEWhiskey.com. And use promo code WRESTLING20, that's 20, for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up.
So more to come from that. I think that's going to be one of the bigger story pieces coming out of Crown Jewel. But we continue on to the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship Fatal 4-Way. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair versus Damage Control versus Metaphor versus Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. This is a chaotic match, as you'd imagine, with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill retaining the championships. This one, I have a question for you. This comes off of the back of our SmackDown after show. Last night, Flobo Boyce and Glenn Steinerstein, I always mix it up. But Glenn and Flobo, they said that they didn't believe that the tag team division, the women's tag team division, was that hot right now because there's no clear number two, number three contenders. There's not a lot of storylines outside of the championship matchup. However, viewers disagreed. They said you've got big stars. They've got a lot of talent. They've got interesting people. Emily, may I ask you, who's right? Is it the viewers who say that there's a lot of great talents, or is it the hosts, Glenn and Flobo?
Oh, I mean, I hate to go against my fellow co-hosts, Glenn and Flobo, but I'm going to have to say they're wrong about this, mm-hmm. because I think that the women's tag team division is so much stronger now than it was a few years ago. And It's continuing to grow. I like that even with the NXT roster, as well as Raw and SmackDown, we're building this tag team division that is quite strong. And I like how they've been able, Bianca and Jade have gone to NXT. They've been able to fight and defend things there. And so I feel like there's a more fluid and competitive roster than there has been in a long time. So I would say they're quite wrong. And I think it's going to continue to grow too. I mean, even the men's tag team roster has grown as well with the added tag team motors and stuff. So
shock. The people say you are right. The people say that the people are right. Fernando. This was really a fun matchup. I'll be honest with you. I went into this one with kind of low expectations as far as it being a match of the night contender or anything like that. But this was a good time. This matchup was fun. It didn't overstay its welcome. Lots of moments happened. Everybody had a moment to shine. I love the ring gear.
Oh my gosh. And it, so incredible.
Now there's obviously restrictions of what they can wear at these shows, but I love how they've sort of embraced that with the gear and made it a cool thing. And now I get excited about it. Like, I wonder what gear they're going to wear this time around. So that was just a cool thing to see. I want your thoughts on Metaphor. I am a huge fan of Metaphor. I've been a fan of them for a long time. In fact, I famously said at the beginning of the year that Lash Legend would be a breakout star this year. I'm feeling very proud of that. If I was wrong, I would not bring it up. But
wow, Jack, you're right for the first time ever.
Don't think about all the other times I was wrong that I'm not going to bring up. But I want you to pretend you'd never watched NXT a day in your life. If you watch this match, this is one of your first real shots of Metaphor. How did you think Jakara and Lash did tonight?
I mean, I think they did incredible. Like, they're holding their own against Jade and Cargill, the champions, like veterans, you know, Damage Control, you know, Chelsea and Piper Niven. Like, they have their look together. They have all their cohesive movesets together. They're working together, and they have this presence. And so they really have come together and really are like, have grown so much in like the last year. Mm-hmm. If I was able to just like take this match and separate it from whatever happened on NXT, like you said, forget about it. I wouldn't have necessarily known that, like, you know, their journey. So.
Yeah. I don't really like how they're called the Meta Girls. It makes me feel like Metaphor, the group, is done, and I liked Metaphor.
Yeah, that's what we were questioning that when we saw them when we were doing some other after shows. We were like, "Oh, what? They're set Meta Girls? Like, it does feel like? Does it feel like it's like? I don't know. I don't know if I'm thrilled about that name.
But I do got to say, I love the entrance. I've always loved it on NXT, but it looked really cool on the big screens and in that big arena. Very cool, like simple with just the colors and them in the silhouettes. It looks awesome. My question here is, too, though, let's talk about the winners of the matchup, Jade and Bianca. It feels like they've been alluding to the fact that this is a team that's eventually going to break up. And I know everyone on Twitter's like, eventually it's going to happen. Someone's going to break up. And even Corey Graves, during their entrance, was kind of alluding to it. Hey, they're the only team that comes out separately.
They've done that from the beginning.
Do you think this team's going to break up, or do you think this team's here for the long haul? Or at least it's wrestling. Unless you're the New Day, every team breaks up. But you know what I mean. Like, is it?
And we've seen Jade and Bianca get very frustrated by this question from media and fans and online, saying, "Oh, they're going to break up and turn on each other." And they get frustrated by that question a lot, which I understand, because they're in the moment, they're champions, they're working together, they're trying to make history. So I get how frustrating that is, because they're trying to build the stories and build the moment right now. They can't think 6 months, a year, 2 years from now. I think eventually there might be some type of tension, because they really are the only team that has a separate entrance. It felt a little more cohesive today, where Jade kind of came out and then Bianca shortly after, but it does feel as if you are a tag team, you need to have the same entrance or a similar, more cohesive entrance. But on the other hand, the fans love Bianca's entrance and it's iconic. So I could see how it's like, how do you even make one that's just as good?
Yeah.
So it is kind of like a mixed feelings about it.
It is tough when you have an entrance like Bianca's that is so popular and is so iconic, but it grinds my gears when tag teams don't come out together. It's if you're a solid team. Now, if you're a team that we don't expect you to be around together, like whatever, do it once. That's fine if you're separate. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're the champs, you got to have call me a purist. A purist, Emily. I like him to have the same entrance. I want him to have matching gear.
They both were bedazzled. All their gear, both their gear was totally bedazzled. It looked really amazing. So they do have the look down. They always seem to collectively have that down. Even when they're arriving to the arena, their looks are together as a team. Mm-hmm. So it's just that one entrance that I think fans are like, hey, can we have a little something more cohesive?
I've said before, I've said on some of the other after shows, I love the tag team division. To kind of go back to what Flobo was saying and Glenn was saying is I do think there's a lot of strong characters in the tag team division. I do think there's a lot of strong teams in the tag team division. I just feel like Bianca and Jade are just overpowered for this tag team division. I think they are such forces of nature that in a one-on-one situation, I have trouble thinking any team can beat them. And so I feel like it's hard to line up challengers for them that mm-hmm. feel credible, that feel like they could win. And I think it makes it's a kind of a strain on the division, I think, to try to keep up challengers while also building an undercard of the tag team. Like, it's hard to have non-title feuds in the tag team division when you're sort of struggling to put the tag team champs in a position to make me feel like they could lose. Cause any one of these teams on their own, you know, if you said it was Metaphor versus Cargill and Bianca, I'd be like, oh, Metaphor, that doesn't stand a chance. Come on. Like, what are you thinking? Or if it was Damage Control, I'm a huge fan of both of them, but I feel like, come on, no one's going to beat these two. They're too powerful. I guess maybe this is how the people used to feel about the Road Warriors maybe back in the day. I don't know.
That's my one thing. Pairing them with like multiple tag teams, like so they have to face, you know, a triple threat, a fatal four way, like because really any single team is just going to be devastating to them to lose. So maybe that's why there's like all of these types of matches now, because they're such a strong tag team.
I mean, that's what I would think. I think that's why they're doing it, but that's why it becomes hard to build up teams. Cause now we just saw three teams take a loss, you know? So it's going to be hard if your next matchup or your next show, you say, well, we're going to now do Damage Control versus Jade and Bianca. I'm going to say, well, we just kind of saw that, didn't we? Like, you know, it's going to start to feel stale. So I don't know. I love the team. They're a phenomenal team. They're almost, like I said, they're almost too good. You got to pull it back a little bit. Fernando in the chat says Zoe and Shayna would make good team to challenge Jade and Bianca. And I agree with that, but that's a team that I feel is so 50-50 in their wins and losses. I don't necessarily believe them right now either. But we'll see. I will see how that goes. WWE has been booking pretty well, so I'll trust them to keep it going. Speaking of good stuff, though, Seth freaking Rollins versus Bronson Reed. This one gets going fast, and it's what has become synonymous with Bronson Reed, and it's just a fun comic book style train wreck of a matchup. It doesn't end until Seth Rollins gives a super stomp off the top rope, and even though Seth Rollins gets the win, Bronson Reed is back to his feet fairly quickly after. Emily, again, like I said, this was fun. Felt like a comic book. Bronson Reed is kind of becoming the king of making a random feud turn into just a must-see spectacle.
Yeah, I mean, they're building him into this huge monster, right? Mm-hmm. And he showed this in this match today, where you're going against Seth Rollins, all right? Seth freaking Rollins. There's a lot of Bronson built this up as if they have years and years and years and years of history, like it's a WrestleMania main event. And that's what I feel like Bronson Reed is really great at. He brings that energy and the power into the ring and just goes for it. And that's what he showed, you know, against Seth, who hasn't wrestled in quite a long time. I think it was a surprise win, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I really was thinking it was going to go towards Bronson Reed. But I think he's just doing incredible, incredible work right now. Probably the best of his career. And I really, really just enjoyed this match.
Yeah, this one was a lot of fun. And I've seen some people split on how they think it should have ended. I feel like I get it. I don't feel like Bronson Reed loses anything losing to Seth Rollins. So I'm fine with him taking the loss, especially since he got right back up afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows he's not backing down. There's more to this. I think it's not ending.
Yeah, and I think Seth Rollins, I think, is someone they want to heat up for a world title situation soon, where I think Bronson Reed probably does a little bit to go before that. But Bronson Reed, I look at this guy, and he has just powered his way into what I would consider a main event situation by, like, sheer force of will. I mean, he doesn't have a catchphrase. He's not just getting win after win after win. He's just doing it by being uniquely fun every time he's on the screen, Emily.
I mean, he's just like a brute force that has dominated the roster, has like steamrolled. Even though he might get some losses, he shows how strong he is. He's bringing kind of a whole new set of power moves that not every competitor is going to be able to overcome. And I think they talked about this on commentary for Crown Jewel, that he is building to this main event energy. He's building to these main event feuds. And so I think come WrestleMania, and even I'm going to say Royal Rumble, there's going to be a big match for Bronson Reed.
Do you think this rivalry continues with these two guys? Do you think they go their separate ways? Is there another match? Do they find respect and become a tag team? What do you think happens between these two?
I don't know about a tag team.
I don't think so either, but throwing it out there.
I mean, he got up, Bronson got up so quickly. It just shows like he's not willing to just let the loss happen. So I could potentially see kind of a second, a sequel to this match, or maybe there's a follow-up during the week. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be like a trilogy with like CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. I don't know if it's going to be that far, but I could see there potentially being a second match.
Something I wanted to add too about this is I'm watching Seth Rollins make his way to the ring. He's doing something that's very interesting to me in that he has been around in WWE for like 10 years or so. I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but it's like 10 years at a top main event, main focus level. And I would say this version of him today is the one that when it all is said and done in 30 years, people are going to remember him as and remember him for this version of him. And I think it's so rare that someone who has been at the top for that long and been one of the top guys in the industry for that long is able to say that they're doing their best work this deep into their career, and this version of themselves and this character is the one that will be remembered instead of the one where they first kind of got that shot and that opportunity. Emily, it's unreal how good Seth Rollins is.
Yeah. I mean, it shows that sometimes it's about the journey, right? Not the destination. So finding yourself in this world and finding a persona and character that works for you, that makes you a superstar, that makes you outshine everyone else. I mean, Seth Rollins just like drips personality and passion for this business and when he's in the ring. So it took him, he's always had that, but how do you make it external? How do you put that on the outside? And so he finally found this kind of sweet spot where he can truly be himself and like plus himself up a million times, and it works. People are behind him. And so that's what that legacy part of his career will be. Now, I'm not saying he's like ending his career anytime soon, but it is so special when you finally find the thing that works for you. And I feel like this has been a banner year for many superstars that have found that thing that works.
Yeah, just incredible stuff from them. It was a fun matchup in the middle of the show. We also got another one. This one was a lot of fun as well. The WWE Women's Crown Jewel Championship match, a Women's World Champion Liv Morgan versus WWE Women's Champion Nia Jax. Nia Jax starts off strong, just ragdolling Liv Morgan. When Tiffany Stratton comes out, is about to cash in, only to be sent to the back by Nia Jax. Tiffany Stratton comes back out, but Raquel Rodriguez and Dominic Mysterio show up to stop her and cost Nia Jax the match, making Liv Morgan the first ever Crown Jewel champion. This one I thought was a very clever matchup in the way this all played out. But let me ask you this, Emily May, if you were the one with the pin in the back, do you think Liv was the right person to win?
Well, first of all, I have to say Liv Morgan just seems to not be able to win on her own. So that's a little controversial. You know, it just seems like she has all the help of everyone else. The thing is, Nia Jax understands what it's like to win in Saudi Arabia, Queen of the Ring. So I feel like Liv winning this is just going to add to her momentum, add to her ego a little bit. So I would say, like, technically, I would have rather had Nia win. But Liv, I think, this is just going to add to more of the drama. And I think Nia and Tiff have some things to work out. So I think they need to focus on that first before adding any more accolades.
Yeah, I think that they played this perfectly in the sense that they somehow managed to walk that very thin line of, you know, a bad guy versus a bad guy, but still somehow made it work. Liv obviously cheating to win, but because of the issues with Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, it gives Nia an excuse to look the other way because she's got other things to deal with instead of being like, I want to get revenge on you for doing this to me. It never felt like anyone was betraying who they were supposed to be or what their characters were just for the one night matchup. So everyone I thought was really, really good at this. A lot of people are saying Ricky Sinclair, in fact, in the chat says, this should have been a cash-in. It could have saved the show. Emily, do you think Tiffany Stratton should have cashed in?
So I thought she was going to cash in. But again, they're teasing it. I don't honestly think it's going to happen until, like, I think it's still too soon. It feels too soon. And they keep teasing this every week or every premium live event since Tiff has had the briefcase. Like, when is she going to do it? And soon that's going to break, that alliance between her and Nia. Like, it's just going to break. Mm-hmm. She could have done it tonight, and she didn't. So they have to work it out.
Yeah, Secular Belt saying she could have cashed in on both belts. You know, I was thinking she should have cashed in on the Crown Jewel Championship.
I know.
Just I don't taking know that one.
We haven't really figured out those rules. I don't know if she can cash in on the...
I mean, I think technically at the moment of the match, it was vacant. So I think if she cashed in, she would just become the champion at that point, right?
I guess so. I guess that could happen. I feel like we're getting into weird territory where we don't know yet.
This is where
we're talking about, like, we haven't seen the women's title belt. We're like, we haven't seen it. We've only seen the men's. We finally saw both.
Right.
And then we found out that they get Super Bowl rings.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see those. Like, I want to carry around, like, my 12-carat Crown Jewel champion ring.
It does feel a bit like a bait and switch, though, because they didn't mention the ring until tonight.
Yesterday, they mentioned it.
I feel like, yeah, after you'd already flown out there, though, I feel like, wait, I thought I was getting a championship. Now it's a ring.
Okay, but did you see the size difference of those title belts? That title belt is, like, giant. So you can barely hold the normal sized ones around your waist. How are they going to hold the one that's 50 carats, 90 pounds?
Yeah, I knew they weren't bringing that thing back afterwards, but I think it was still fun. Let me ask you this. Are you team Liv and Dom? Are you a Liv and Dom stan, as Corey Graves says, or are you team Rhea Ripley?
Oh, team Rhea Ripley, 100%.
Mm. Yeah. I'm a Liv Dom stan.
Yeah, no. I mean, okay, to be fair, I am with Dom in the sense of I eat chicken nuggets every single day. So that's good. The only thing I like about it.
So good.
Chicken tendies, give them to me with ranch. And
they're so good. I mean, how do you argue? But I last thing on this, I do like how Triple H came out and presented the championship. It's one of those little things, Emily, that it's such a little difference, but it makes those championships feel so important and so much bigger and better that he actually came out and was a part of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's that big fight feel, right? It's that big UFC fight feel where you're out there, you're presenting it. Even at the end, the ceremony as well. I think that's a big deal. That just makes it feel important and part of the WWE universe.
So Randy Orton is supposed to have a matchup, but it never happens because Kevin Owens hits him with a chair before the bell even rings. They take it to the outside. Kevin Owens stuns an official. There's no match tonight. Randy Orton still RKOs Adam Pearce. They continue to fight outside until eventually this thing comes to an end. I love anarchy. So, Emily, I loved this segment.
This was like, wow, we're robbed of a match. This wasn't even a match. It was just a beatdown.
I'm okay with it. I loved it. I loved it.
I love the chaos. Again, like, get your roster under control. And Kevin Owens, I swear, I thought he's going to interrupt. He's going to mess up Cody Rhodes' match. But then after this happened, I was like, oh, nah, he's not good. he's not gonna interrupt this main event. So I loved it. I love a big battle. I love a big, you know, beatdown. So this was really fun. But again, what's gonna happen? Does this mean they have an official match sanctioned by the GM later down the line? Is it Survivor Series? Like, this does not end here.
Right. Yeah. I love the pacing of this in that sense, because there's definitely more meat on the bone for those two to continue rivalry. And this allows them to continue to do that. And this, again, in the middle of a show, I'll be honest, this is where I was like, okay, I missed the five match shows. People who know me know that I start to get a little antsy.
After that, you like your 90 minutes. You're like, just 90 minute shows.
I was like, okay, we're getting long here. But, and so this actually made everything speed up, but like, it was exciting again. So I love this. But I got to say, Emily, this is where I'm going to take a stand. And it's time. And I know I'm just a podcaster, you know, but listen to me. It's time. It's time. Adam Pearce removes the glasses, loosens up the tie, opens up that shirt and reveals old Scrap Daddy and gets back in the ring. It's time for this 5-time former NWA World Champion to show everybody that Adam Pearce is no one to mess with. Scrap Daddy, Adam Pearce, lace them back up. And then when you're done putting these wrestlers in their place, give old Nick Aldis a what for being such a jerk over on SmackDown. Adam Pearce, it's time. We need to see Scrap Daddy.
All right, Jack, here, get off your box. I'm moving your little...
Is it time? It's time. Come on. I know.
That's what I keep saying.
I know you're a Scrap Daddy fan.
I know. I am. I'm a huge fan. But both Adam and Nick Aldis need to figure out their roster. They're calling each other saying, hey, get your, you know, roster together, keep things under control. I was like, both of them have lessons to learn. This was a little lesson today for Adam, but he totally could, like you said, lace up his boots again, maybe. You know, take that tie, remove it, replace it with some gear, and get in there.
I'd like to imagine he goes into a phone booth like Superman, like Clark
Superman
Kent, right?
And comes out.
He takes off the glasses just like Clark Kent, yeah. And when he opens up the shirt, he has his gear underneath his suit, like he's always just been wearing it underneath his suit this whole time. Yeah, and then I want to see the next person that comes and gives him a hard time. I want him to just hit him with a pile driver. That's what you get for messing with Scrap. Like, I'm not taking any of your guff anymore. And I want him to wag his finger at him. And then I want him to pile drive anyone who gives him a hard time. Scrap Daddy, it's time.
You tried to
be professional. I appreciate it. It's time to start pile driving people.
So how many broadcast booths and desks are going to be ruined once he gets?
All of them.
Once he gets into control in more ways than one.
It'd be easier to point out the ones that aren't going to get destroyed.
Facts. Spewing facts.
We've got the WWE United States Championship triple threat match, LA Knight versus Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes. This is a super fun sprint of a match. LA Knight retains. Emily, I thought this was a perfect example of making the most of your minutes. This was fun. Mm-hmm. It was quick. It was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, it was super quick. I mean, I had LA Knight. I was like, I don't think he's losing the title at Crown Jewel. It just, didn't think it, you know, I didn't think it would work here, but I think both of the competitors were really strong. The crowd was behind all three of them, like throughout moments of the match. And it was just quick. They all got their spots in. And I think both, even though they lost in LA Knight retained, I think it was a strong match overall. And then it's just going to continue the story and thing down the line with LA Knight. Hopefully you get some good rivals.
Maybe Scrap Daddy versus LA Knight. That's one we'd like to see. But
let's book it.
By the way, I got to give a shout out. Andrade, that backflip off the top rope to the outside over the turnbuckle, I gasped because I totally bought it. Like the way they shot it and filmed it,
yeah.
I was like, at first, I was like, he's kind of taking a long time to jump down onto Carmelo Hayes. And then he went the other way. And I was like, whoa.
And that's what this match had. It had those surprise moments. Even Carmelo Hayes had moments where you're like, whoa. Like, he just would execute stuff so smoothly and so strongly. And so even though Andrade and Carmelo Hayes didn't necessarily get the win, they got the win because they're at Crown Jewel, a part of this huge premium live event. And are against LA Knight. Like, it just was a really great moment for both of them.
Yeah, this was fun. Who do you think, Carmelo and Andrade are done? Would you like to see them be done? Or do you want to see them go their separate ways? Do you want to see them continue in some way? Do you want to have, I already threw this out there before, what we call a strange bedfellows tag team? What do you want to see? What do you want to see from these guys?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Carmelo's been so strong this year. And just in a really good place. I don't know. I don't know if I would say that's a team, Jack.
I don't want everyone to be teams or get piled dry by Adam Pierce. What are those two?
Adam Pierce. Let's see it. GM, step in. Let's make it happen against Andrade. I think Andrade needs a little pile driver.
Do you have anyone in mind you'd like to see versus LA Knight? For the title next, because it feels wide open for whoever
that's what I'm feeling right now. I feel like it is wide open and it could be anyone. I don't know, a lot of people are saying Bronson Reed. I don't know, that's my thought right now.
Maybe Jacob Fatu, just because I want to see Jacob Fatu win. Everybody
too, so I don't know. I kind of want to see Jacob versus Bronson Reed. That'd be cool.
That'd be so many Jacob Fatu fights.
Fatu in everything. Let's just
versus the world.
Versus the world. So that's, I mean, soon the bloodline will be the world. So
yeah,
that's going to be big enough.
And it'll come down to the final boss will be Jacob Fatu versus Akira Tozawa.
Oh my God, stop it.
Danny Cochran says, Akira's ready. Let's go. Crown Jewel Championship match, heavyweight champion Gunther versus undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes. A great wrestling match from Cody, reversing the sleeper that Gunther had said he'd win with to give the first ever Crown Jewel Men's Championship to Cody Rhodes. Both men shake hands afterwards. Championship is staying in Saudi Arabia. Cody and Liv get rings. This was a great wrestling match. I think if you're a fan of classic wrestling matches, just really knocked out of the park. Thoughts on this match, and would you like to see this format every year for Crown Jewel, or is this something you kind of like them to do once and then leave it creatively open for different things in the future?
Well, I mean, I feel like this was a really quick show, even in the format that it was in. There was more matches this time, minus the battle that happened, the beatdown. So I like the format because you knew you had your two Crown Jewel Championship matches. You had some other title matches as well. But this main event overall was, like you said, a very classic wrestling brawl. It's a wrestling fight. You have two strong guys. I do have to say Gunther looked so freaking strong. And what I loved is I did not expect the crowd to be so loud for Gunther. They were loud for Cody, but just on the same spectrum, they were super loud for Gunther. And what I liked is they had this back and forth of just like hitting each other, striking each other. You could see the frustration in both of their faces. I liked the slow-mo that they did during the recaps, and it was You could just see like just the strikes on their bodies. And it was a classic wrestling match where you have two big guys, two strong champions, champion versus champion. They're both at the top of their game and they're just going at it. And so, you know, it's going to be this like crazy battle. And it was, and there was emotion and frustration. Going in, I thought Gunther just had a slight edge over Cody, even though Cody, I'm a huge fan of, I felt like Gunther, with the promos he was doing leading up to this, kind of their face-to-face that they've been having on Raw and SmackDown, I thought, you know, he just has this edge about him that might get him the win. Obviously, it went a different direction, which mm-hmm. I'm still happy about the result. I would have been happy either way. But overall, I think it just was really, it was a really great main event to top off Crown Jewel.
Yeah, this one was a good one. I agreed. I thought that it was going to be Gunther that walked away with the win. I thought there'd be some shenanigans with the bloodline or something like that that led to that happening. So kind of surprised that Cody Rhodes got the win, but at the same time, I'm not surprised in that Cody Rhodes is the face of the company. He's the guy. And so I think as fans, we should expect that Cody Rhodes is probably going to get his arm raised more often than not. And I think that's a good thing. I think he's proven that he's someone who is a draw. He sells merchandise. He's all the good things. And I think a narrative I think we need to start putting away, as I see online all the time, people talking about the fans are going to turn on Cody or when Cody turns.
Tony turns,
Just tuck that away. It's not happening. It ain't happening. This guy's, no one's turned on him. He's not turned on anybody else. Going to be totally fine. And I think that he's going to be a big star for a long time for them. And I think that, I think Gunther's one of those guys that as a character will move on. I think that he'll, you know, I know they have a fatal four-way for the, a number one contendership on Raw on Monday. Yeah. And so I think he'll just go, cool, I got the next thing and move on. If Cody lost, his character wouldn't be able to sit with that. His character would say, well, now we need to have a rematch. Now we need to do something else. And now you're stuck in that kind of program forever.
Yeah. Cody can't set it, like has that mindset that he can't sit still when something goes wrong, when something is not where he wants it to be. So he would continue to fight however way to get back on top. We saw that. We saw that battle for him to finish his story. This is his next chapter. But he is going to be champion for a long time. I don't see him. I don't see the fans turning on him. He is so lovable, so likable, and he's just in this perfect spot right now.
You know, I see in the chat, people are talking, you know, secular belt saying Homelander Rhodes will happen. Fernando says Cody needs to become Homelander. The greatest heel trick that Cody Rhodes will do is never turn heel, and you'll all hate him for it. I think that's what's going to happen with Cody Rhodes. Like,
people hate him for not being mean, for not being the bad guy.
Yes.
That's how it's going to organically happen.
That's what's going to happen. He's never going to turn. It'll never happen.
Like, be a bad guy. No.
Nope. Then he's going to go save a kitten from a tree, and he's going to help an old lady cross the street. He's going to do that thing where there's going to be a puddle in the ground and he's going to take his jacket off and put it over it so someone can walk over it. He's going to do all those things.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I could see that. I feel like he would do that just on a normal day.
Yeah, that's just who he is. And he's always going to be that guy.
Yeah.
Until it just annoys you so much you hate him.
Well, you could see how much he enjoys when everyone sings his theme song, when he goes out and he just soaks it in every time. I mean, Jack, you've seen it a couple times, right? Live.
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
Is so like you kind of it kind of washes over you, and just everyone, like everyone's into it. Everyone's singing along. Everyone's doing the hand movements. Like it is such like a cultural WWE moment to participate in his entrance. So I can't see the fans turning on him.
I was about to say, if you ever go to a live show and Cody Rhodes is there, I was going to say, I dare you to not do the whoa. But if you don't do it, you will feel like you missed out on such an awesome thing. And you'll feel like, oh man, that was so cool and I missed it. It's so cool to just whoa. And you tip your head back too, just like him. And then you start singing the word. I don't know the words, but like
no one knows the words.
I know adrenaline in your soul, but then I'm like,
Rhea Ripley's version. What is it? Dun, 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 I'm Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I don't know what he said. But I make noise like I'm singing along. I have no idea what I'm saying.
So don't do a theme song karaoke. You'd be bad at it.
No. I'd sing along loud until you took the music out and then like in the words and stuff out, and I'd be like, I don't know. Yeah. Have you ever done karaoke and you see the words on the screen for the first time? Like, that's what they say?
I've been singing words all wrong. The time. I'm like, oh, I've been singing it wrong all the whole time. Yeah.
What is this song about?
It's really funny listening to songs now where you're like sang as a kid and you're like, oh, my parents let me sing that song. It's not appropriate.
Yeah, there's definitely some songs from when I was younger. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, that's super meaning.
Well, I thought this was a fun show. This was in the chat. I'm seeing some mixed reviews here. In the chat, let us know your overall thoughts of this show and this episode. Emily, what were your thoughts on this one? Again, I thought this is a fun mid-afternoon wrestling show.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I love, what is it? It's 4:30 Central Time right now. We have a whole night ahead of us. We could go watch more wrestling. No, I loved it. I think it was really fun. I mean, we're a few weeks out from Survivor Series, so we'll have to see what these implications are. I think overall it was good.
Yeah, and where can we find you online?
You can find me and follow me on all social platforms at Emily Mayheller. I have some exciting things happening with some upcoming wrestling shows in Texas. So look out for all my announcements and hopefully I'll catch you there.
Upcoming wrestling shows. So any of those WWE ID shows that?
Maybe. if you are in Texas, we do have Reality of Wrestling on November 10th. So that's 8 days away. Yeah, 8 days away. So if you're there, the newest member of WWE ID program. Go come check it out.
Very cool. Love to see the successes over there and all the things you're doing, Emily. I thought this was a great show. Again, it was fun. It was a fun mid-afternoon wrestling show. Great matches. Things felt like they mattered. And it was a cool moment seeing those both Liv and Cody hoisting up these massive championships above their heads. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm covering Raw and AEW on Mondays and Wednesdays here on Wrestling Inc. Also on the Wrestling Chatter, my interview with Alex Wright just dropped. That's a very fun one. We talk about all sorts of cool stuff, including stuff like his Mount Rushmore of European pro wrestlers. See who made the list and who didn't make the list, by the way. You can check out, I was interviewed by Tom Talks Rubbish, and that interview is dropping on Friday. So you can see me chat about all sorts of fun stuff over there if you're not sick of my voice already. That does it for us, Emily May. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and always do that kind of stuff. Anyways, we'll see you on Monday for the after Raw show on Wrestling Inc. We'll see you guys there. I'm hitting the end stream button. Bye.